President Bush says there's no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved in the September 11th attacks. But he said there's no question the former Iraqi leader had ties to al-Qaeda. U.S. officials say al-Qaeda is still operating in Iraq and has joined with jihad fighters and Saddam loyalists to attack American troops. Many of these fighters are said to have infiltrated into Iraq from Syria. NPR's Emily Harris reports from Sinjar near the Iraqi-Syrian border.
It's 8 o'clock in the morning, and Army Captain Bud Ford of the 187th Infantry Regiment is leading two dozen men on a raid.
We're going down to Bodge and detain a suspected al-Qaeda member who is a suspected arms smuggler in the region. So we're going to go down there and detain him for some questioning, see if he is or if he isn't, or what he does or doesn't know.
The soldiers ready their weapons as three Humvees pull out of the old Iraqi army training compound where they live, 20 miles south, past sheep stirring up dust and market stands full of fresh vegetables. They stop across from a small jewelry shop. Soldiers hop off the truck and spread out.
Anybody in there, go ahead and grab with them so we can figure out who's a bad guy later.
Within 3 minutes, a thin man with a thin black mustache is escorted out of his shop. He's put on a truck and blindfolded. The convoy stops once on the return trip to check if the soldiers remembered to lock the shop door. Its owner may well be in U.S. custody for several months or more. Back at the base, he's put in the cage, a cement floor with a roof and barbed wire walls. He'll be questioned here, then likely sent up the military chain for more interrogation. Corporal Marcus Wade works intelligence at the 2nd Battalion's base. He says tipsters associate al-Qaeda with local followers of Wahhabi Islam.
The people in town know that, so they tell us about these kinds of people. The Wahhabis are, you know, Osama bin Laden's a Wahhabi. Al-Qaeda is mostly Wahhabis. So the Wahhabis here, they get kind of lumped in with the al-Qaeda. So sometimes, I mean, we get reports on people being al-Qaeda when they're really just Wahhabis who are like extremist Wahhabis. But the people here don't know the difference.
Wade tries to get more information from the suspects.
We try and get them mad, just try and, you know, get them enraged a little bit, and then the truth starts flowing, because they start saying, now, I'm going to kill you, you Christian infidel American. And from that point on, they're pretty much, okay, well, now my cover's blown. So now we can continue with the conversations.
Military officials here say foreigners have been caught coming into Iraq with writings indicating they aim to carry out jihad. One attack in this area, they say, had clear indications experienced terrorists were involved. Nights at the U.S. base in Sinjar are usually quiet, save the hum of crickets and air conditioners. Major Frank Genio was asleep one night when a rocket hit the wall of his room.
It was chaos for about the first 10 minutes because the rocket hit here. Second one hits, doors open, concrete's everywhere in there, everything's flipped upside down.
Two other U.S. military units in the area were hit at nearly the same time. Lieutenant Colonel Hank Arnold commands the Sinjar post. He says local people fired the rockets, but foreign operatives probably set them up.
One guy buys the stuff or obtains the weapons. Another guy sets them up, you know, marries them up with launchers or whatever. And then someone else recruits these guys who are local. They don't know who, if we capture them in this case, they don't know who provided the weapons to them. All they know is they went to this location, moved some garbage beside, and there it was.
Arnold's superior officer, Colonel Mike Lennington, believes many of these people are probably getting paid by foreign terrorist groups or Saddam loyalists who have money.
We have a significant unemployment problem out here. When we disbanded the Iraqi military, of course, the large military presence that was all over Iraq no longer have jobs for the most part. These guys have families. They have to put money, put food on the table somehow. So I think those are the type of people, and the other unemployed are rife for recruitment to go launch an RPG. I mean, if I give you $50 to go launch an RPG against an American, I mean, that's $50 you didn't have before the day started. And $50 doesn't seem like much for an American. But that's several months' wages for the average Iraqi.
Some Iraqis may be helping terrorist groups, not just by firing RPGs. One man was recently arrested for passing information about where convoys are going. He was Iraqi, cleared to sell ice cream on a U.S. military installation. Emily Harris, NPR News, Sinjar, Iraq.